It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. What is presumptive Mayor-elect Bill Peduto's vision of the future? What can we expect the state legislature to accomplish before the budget deadline at the end of the month? And how will it impact Governor Corbett's reelection plans? Joining us to look at these questions and more is Duquesne University law professor and former aide to Mayor Sophie Maslof, Joe Sabino-Mystic. With me here in Studio A, as Frank Fontaine would say, hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
And with us by phone is award-winning Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Tony Norman. How are you, Tony?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing, Paul? How are you doing, Joe?
Okay, Tony. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too, my man.
Gentlemen, let's begin with the fallout from the mayoral primary. Bill Peduto was the winner among the Democrats, making him the presumptive mayor-elect again because no Republican has been elected in this city as mayor since 1932. So Mr. Peduto has been touting his vision for the future of Pittsburgh. What's he been saying, and what has piqued your interest? Joe Sabino-Mystic, let's begin with you.
Well, I guess the most recent comment is that he sees downtown Pittsburgh as sort of a mini Manhattan eventually. And I think what he's referring to is having life on the street at all hours of the day and night. That generally leads to improved public safety, a lot more excitement being generated in your central business district. The entertainment complex will flourish, and it will provide residential options for people who'd like to be near the action.
So on a smaller scale, maybe trying to accomplish what Rudy Giuliani did in New York?
Sure. We'd be a couple of blocks in Manhattan, I guess, when it was all over and done with. But a much smaller scale.
Tony, yeah, yeah.
Tony Norman, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, no. I just want to concur with Joe just said. I think also the fact is that he's also thinking about the contiguous neighborhoods, too. You know, he isn't just concentrating on downtown. And he's also saying that, look, you know, the county ought to carry a big cost of this mini Manhattan idea. You know, it shouldn't just be something that the city goes at alone. And so his partnership with of County Exec Rich Fitzgerald really comes in handy here. They have a deep, warm friendship, and I believe they're going to have a working relationship that's going to work for the better of Pittsburgh. I think that's one of the best things to come out of this Peduto winning the nomination for mayor. So I think that you have a strong partnership there that's going to really help Pittsburgh along in the long run.
Now, Tony, you broke with the Post-Gazette editorial board, which endorsed Jack Wagner for mayor. You broke with them to endorse Bill Peduto, or at least to write in your column very favorably about Peduto. Why is that? Why do you think he was the best choice for mayor among the Democrats?
Well, I think that I would have been comfortable with either, to tell you the truth. But I think it's going to be evident that Bill is the better choice for the long run for this city. I think you needed a break with the Democratic past and some of the old ideas and the old coalitions. There just didn't seem to be any ideas coming forward that would have advanced the ball down the street, as far as I was concerned. I think that my colleagues had good reasons for making a decision that they did. But I just thought on a personal level, I was much more comfortable with Bill leading us into the future.
Joe, is Peduto really that progressive?
Sure, he's very progressive. I think, as we've spoken before, voters chose to look to the future instead of to the past, and I agree wholeheartedly with Tony in that regard. He represents a new way of doing politics. We do that in this town every 15 or 20 years. We make that pivot to the future. Jack ended up on the short end of it this time, I would have been happy hopeful with either candidate in the job as compared to what's going on in the last 7 years or so.
Absolutely.
It's really important to have
a great column about that a week ago. Joe.
And coming from you, Tony, that's big news, man. So thank you.
That was a very good
column.
But
what we talked about was how we need people who take governing seriously. And we've not had that. And either of those candidates would have done that. But totally different
right.
styles, and one looking forward and one trying to preserve more of the past.
What about
right.
this?
I think Jack suffered pretty much because of the coalitions that got behind him and the fact that the current mayor is just such a disaster. But he was clearly supporting his candidacy. So, I mean, a lot of people looked at that as anyone that that Luke is for, I'm against. And,
yeah.
you know, he
yeah.
should have seen that coming. I mean, that was just horrific in terms of, you know, the image he wanted to portray as, you know, a breath of fresh air. Well, how can you be a breath of fresh air if the old coalition is you know, the wind in your sail?
Right, right. That was a toxic endorsement from Ravenstahl of Wagner. And I think Jack, I don't think he had a chance of escaping that once it came.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Before we move on to another topic, I interviewed Bill Peduto the day after he won the election, and he talked about this idea that the power – he's talking about a big paradigm shift and the idea that since Mayor Lawrence's days in office that the power has always come – it's always been a top-down form of government, and that he wants to turn that upside down and have – the community coming up with the ideas that filter down to the man in power who then acts upon them. Do you see him – is that a feasible approach to city government in Pittsburgh by the mayor?
Sure it is. It's a reasonable approach. I don't know that we have been devoid of that in the past. I can think of a few mayors who – have spent a great deal of time out in the neighborhoods. And it's always been a blend, to be honest with you, of a balancing act between fostering economic growth downtown, the economic generator of the region, and making sure that the neighborhoods are in order.
Right, right, right. I echo that. I think that, you know, Bill in particular, and I think we all have stories of being at some niche event or something. I remember being an MC at a wrestling match on the, you know, in Lawrenceville, you know, some obscure Saturday night, and Bill Peduto was there, just sort of hanging out. And you know, and here's a guy who's constantly on the move, talking and hanging out with people and getting ideas and so forth. So I think that he takes that rhetoric seriously, and I think that it'll be interesting to see him try to implement the ideas that he gets from the people, as they say.
Yeah, I think an interesting shift is will come about as a result of his relationship with the county executive. We've not seen that in decades.
Right. It's been it's been rather contentious in recent years, for sure. We're talking politics with Duquesne University law professor and former aide to Mayor Sophie Maslof, Josephino Mystic, and award-winning columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Tony Norman. Let's turn our attention to the state legislature. It must pass, and the governor must sign a budget by the end of this month. The budget never seems to be on time in this state. Will it be this year, and will it have all the right ingredients in it?
Well, I mean, if you're asking us to guess.
What are the odds, Tony?
If you were a betting man.
I don't think that it will. I think this is, you know, we had an editorial recently that, I mean, that basically the budget is $110 million short of what the governor asked for. And this $300 million a year do-nothing legislature is determined to live up to its reputation as a go-slow, do-nothing. Regardless of all of the free market rhetoric, they're not about anything except for preserving their own hides and doing as little as possible so that nothing, you know, sticks to them, or so they assume. And I don't understand how we even have a red state legislature anyway, considering this is a blue state in many ways. I just don't get it. I don't understand Harrisburg.
Usually it gets, you know, contentious when you have the state house and the state senate controlled by
opposing parties.
Yeah, right, exactly. Republicans say controlling the House and the Democrats controlling the Senate, or maybe the Republicans controlling all of the legislature, but you have a Democratic governor like Ed Rendell. But this year, the Republicans control everything, and yet they can't seem to agree on anything.
That's actually a far more dangerous time for any political party is when they have control of everything.
That flies in the face of logic,
Joe.
They
begin to compete within themselves. You know, in this Commonwealth, the Republican caucus of the state Senate wields tremendous power and actually calls its own tune as opposed to falling in line behind the governor. And if you want to know where the governor is going to have his biggest problems with the legislature and with the budget, it will be in the Republican caucus of the state Senate. He will encounter far more obstacles there than he will anywhere else.
It sounds like acting on the three big issues of transportation funding, which those of us, especially here in Pittsburgh, are quite concerned about. There's also the issue of the pension reform, which is in many ways remains as the elephant in the room. And then you have the liquor privatization issue, which all of those three in particular don't seem as though they're going to come in time for the deadline for the 2013-14 budget.
Not at all.
So how big of a setback is this for everyone concerned?
I think it's a big setback for the governor. First of all, I think his reelection prospects were already dim to begin with, but I think that this is going to give a lot of ammunition to re-energize Democrats and whoever the Democratic nominee will be running against the governor. I think that this is not a good time for the governor to look ineffective and to look like a weak guy who can't control his own caucus, and that's what we have here, a governor who I've never been crazy about him personally, I think we now know that he is the kindest thing you could say is that he's an ineffective leader.
Tony used the phrase there that I think sums up the problems for the future, though, and whoever the Democratic nominee will be for governor was the phrase he used, and that's the problem. You can't beat somebody with nobody. I wouldn't count Governor Corbett out yet, but the Democrats have to settle on a strong candidate. They need to do it soon. They need to have party leaders weighing in, trying to get some people out of the race in order to get the right candidate in, and if they don't do that, this is up in the air still. So I think Governor Corbett is relying on the disorganization, a disorganized approach
of the Democrats.
The disarray
of the Democrats.
That's right.
Which
yeah.
Is...
yeah.
Right,
it's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We're talking politics with Tony Norman, award-winning columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a member of their editorial board, and also Joe Sabino Mystic, who is a Duquesne University law professor. One last thing I wanted to hit on before we move on, gentlemen, and that is the issue of opting in or out of Medicaid expansion, which, of course, is part of the Affordable Care Act. Governor Corbett still hesitant to have Pennsylvania opt in. What's going on there? What are the implications of that?
I think that's the deal breaker. And I think that if the governor can win or lose on that, or improve his chances of winning or losing based on that issue alone. The television ads will be devastating if he holds us out. There was an article in a paper today by our friend, our mutual friend, Brad Bumstead, talking about how it may be too obscure an issue for people to get their arms around. But when you put a face on it, you put a face on it of a parent with a sick child, and that's your television ad, I think that can kill his chances for reelection. It's the biggest issue out there.
You hit it right on the head, Joe. That's absolutely it, in a nutshell. It is an obscure issue for people to get their arms around. I mean, it's when you anything that deals with healthcare is obscure until you put the human face on it, and once people realize what's at stake and what's going to be lost, people feel instinctively, that healthcare is a right, it's a human right, and it's an American right, and if they feel that, man, they're missing out on something, and that it might even be fatal for them, it's gonna hurt any politician that stands in the way of that.
That's Tony Norman, and also with me in studio, Joe Sabino Mystic. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today on the program.
And read Joe's column. It's quiet reading.
Hey, Tony's really a real columnist. I dabble at this. He's a great columnist.
A mutual admiration society. Glad to see you. Thank you again, gentlemen. Coming up, our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, looks at the economic impact of the Penguins' long playoff run, among other topics. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.